We need our marketing to be a balance of that hyper local. We understand those communities that we are in, but then some of those scalable marketing tactics as well that we can get out to the entire St. Louis region.
Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello and welcome, everyone. We appreciate you joining us today for another great episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're very excited about our guest today and a lot of the insight and aspiration and direction and some great experience and insight that she's going to provide for us. So I'll stop there and welcome you, Dan, and good to see you. And we'll let you introduce our guest.
Yeah, always great to get on these things with you, Chris. So today we've got Heidi Maget on, SVP of Marketing for Midwest Bank Center, which is, Heidi, 2.3 now, 2.4 billion, somewhere in there?
Yep, about that, a little over 2.5.
Yep, over 2.5 now. Community bank here in St. Louis. She and I have been working together for a number of years. But you've got, I'm looking at your bio here, over 17 years experience. You've got a long kind of ranging career of kind of touching every corner of digital marketing. You ran your own company for a while. You worked with Midwest Bank Center for a couple of years, and now you're full time there. And I know you did a lot in the kind of travel marketing space as well, and kind of a little bit of everything. So, been working together a while. I'm excited to have you on the show. So, welcome.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Chris and Dan. I'm excited to be here and excited to talk more.
Great to have you, Heidi.
Yeah, well, let's start with that career path. Like, tell us a little about how you got, how you got into marketing originally and what kind of led us to where you are now.
I landed in marketing actually completely randomly. I was actually forced to declare my major my junior year. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I just chose communications because that was the most broad, and I was told I could kind of go in the most directions that way. So I said, okay, I'll be communications. And then I graduated, still didn't really know. So just kind of started applying to sales careers and marketing careers. And really the marketing role was the first that I got accepted to. So I started in a large marketing agency. And really within 2 weeks of being at that agency, I was kind of pulled off into a special project. And what that transpired into is that essentially that agency was building its very first digital marketing team. But this was so new that we didn't even know what to call it. So we called it new media. So I was on the very first new media team. I was one of two people that was really, building this team from the ground up. And that, so I was lucky to be introduced to digital marketing pretty much within, the first month of my career. And I loved it and I haven't looked back since.
I feel like so many of us, I'd love to take a poll and like see how many of us got into marketing kind of not intentionally. Maybe exactly. We stuck with it intentionally, but I feel like so many people like kind of landed into it for one reason or another. So
that's exactly what it felt like for me, but also felt like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid of lots of other things. That was kind of how I fell into it, because I'd done lots of other things and fell into marketing. So Heidi, your process there is quite common.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So talk a little more about like the journey into Midwest Bank Center. So I know when we started working, I mean, we kind of met through working with Midwest Bank Center, but when we started working together, you had your own thing.
I did. Yeah. So what I did for really several years is I moved from different organizations, and really at the base of what I was doing, every new role was building and scaling digital marketing teams. So I got to do that in a variety of environments. It was, started with a larger marketing agency, and then I did that for a smaller marketing agency. I went corporate for a bit. And then, I said, all right, let's test my hand at, going out on my own. And I ran my own consulting firm for about 3 years and really loved it. I was working with some clients locally on scaling and building their digital marketing teams. And I was also doing some vacation rental marketing consulting. So really what led me to MBC is that Midwest Bank Center was one of my clients. And I worked with them as a contractor for about 2 years and then was asked to come in-house. And it was a really easy decision. I just have never loved a company more than Midwest Bank Center. And so it was an easy yes. And that's where I walked away from the consulting business that I had built and came in-house. So it's about 3 years now that I've been in-house with Midwest Bank Center.
I think it's such a great testament to the team there. In that, I've been doing that my thing for 5.5, almost 6 years now, and just thinking about going back to having a boss, having that structure. It would have to be like the perfect storm of conditions. So, pretty lucky that you kind of found that. And it's
that's exactly what it was, because I loved my business so much. I always said that nothing. I am staying in this. I love this. I love working from home. There were just so many elements I loved. So you're right. It was the perfect conditions that said, you know what, this is a great opportunity and I'm going to take it.
Well, Heidi, you and Dan worked together and have for quite a while, and you're familiar. So for me and for the rest of our listenership, give me a little bit more insight into kind of what the team looks like now since you stepped in and you're in there, and a bit of what the team looks like now. And then maybe we can kind of roll into how it got there, because it wasn't always what it is now.
Yeah. So the team today is, the marketing team is 9 full-time employees. And the way that breaks down is I'm part of the digital marketing sector of that. And that's one part of the marketing team. Then we also have the sales enablement team, which really runs our in-person events. And we have multicultural marketing, earned media. And really that comprised of, the marketing team at MBC. And then my team, is really focused on the digital marketing. So social, email, landing pages, analytics, et cetera.
Right. Well, and with the asset size that MBC is at this point, you weren't there several years ago. And maybe when you first started working with them, and this may be a little bit more of a relatable platform for a lot of our listeners, what were you guys a number of years back, and kind of how did it build to what it is now?
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, when I started working with the bank as a consultant, we were much smaller asset-wise size, but also as a team. It was really 2 full-time employees focused on marketing. And the digital side of it especially was really just kind of a random email here and there, an inconsistent social media presence. And that was kind of the extent of it. It was, more focused on some of the traditional tactics and, shredding events and a lot of those really, core common community banking activities. They were doing the standard of those. But that was our starting point. And we just kind of have grown and scaled a little bit each and every year to get to where we are today.
You still do shred days.
We do.
As a bank, you're not going to get away from the local stuff, but we say on the show a lot about layering that local stuff with other stuff, with digital, with storytelling, and you've done a great job adding all those layers in, but still keeping kind of connected to the roots. Like you've got 18 branches now, right?
Yes, we just opened our 18th one. So yeah, 18 branches altogether.
Yeah, I mean, and so you still need the shred days are great ways to kind of stay connected to that branch. But when you're that big, you cover, the entire metro area here. That doesn't cover everybody. Nobody's driving across the city to shred stuff. So you need, you know, you need those other layers.
Yeah, it's that balance of we still want to be hyper local, and that's super valuable. And we are, you know, everything we do, it's about the communities that we serve. That is extremely important to us. And so we need our marketing to be a balance of that hyper local. We understand those communities that we are in, but then some of those scalable marketing tactics as well that we can get out to the entire St. Louis region. So yeah, it's really a balance, and it's really about prioritizing every year. Okay, what are we doing and what do we want to build on top of rather than take things away?
Heidi, that's really cool that you guys have achieved that, because with our community bank base, we talk about that a lot, about being true to the core of who you are. And as you just described, true to being a community partner and engaged in all of that and scaling, you know, in the ways that are growth, not just around asset size, but just around your number of people and your geographic bandwidth and all of those things. So that's a really amazing and great accomplishment, and is very much the model. But I like how you tagged that with saying you're not losing being true to who you are. And I think that continues to be such a massive differentiator, you know, between you guys and other community banks and the national banks who might have a local address, but that's really the extent of their local, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the, you know, fundamental pieces that we had to do really early on, because we were local and people knew, you know, if you banked with us or you drove past, you know, you knew that, yeah, we were in your community, but digitally, maybe they didn't know that because we didn't have our businesses claimed on, you know, Google Maps, for example. And so there were just also those kind of cleanup tactics that really had to be done to say, okay, well, the you know, maybe within a mile, 2 mile radius, people know that we're there, but let's make sure that we're able to be seen on, you know, the maps as well. So that was a huge undertaking to really get consistent addresses across all the listing directories and then grow that review count. And, you know, it was really one of those passion projects from the beginning that, you know, has been really important to that hyperlocal strategy. People need to be able to plug our name in, or even just local bank near me, and have Midwest Bank Center show up. So that's been really one of the big projects that we started at, one of the very first things we did. And it's a key focus of something we still do today to make sure that, you know, we are able to be found locally on digital maps.
I want to talk too a bit about, there's a bunch of stuff. Part of the I think the fun of working with you guys is there's a bunch of stuff that you're doing that create competitive advantage, that differentiate you. Like, kind of get into some of that stuff too. But how do you think you've been bringing roles in house, growing the team? You know, how do you think that's contributed to the bank's growth, contributed to your competitive advantage?
Yeah, I think what's really neat about our structure is that we do have a robust internal marketing team, but we also use this hybrid model of contractors, agencies, freelancers that we leverage to, you know, really be best in class in those areas. Because even though the team is large, we still don't have all the expertise needed to run all of the tactics that we're running. And really the value that we find in this hybrid model is that, one, it really allows us to scale up and down as needed, you know, when we are going through our busier seasons, and we can, you know, kind of open those faucets and lean on those contractors in those busy times. We've got a really great structure to, you know, have those release valves as needed. But really, it also really lends itself to diversity in thinking. I mean, I think, you know, when you're living with a brand day in, day out, you can get tunnel vision a little bit. You know, we know our brand very well, but sometimes having that outside perspective of someone that's not necessarily living it, breathing it every single day really offers some unique perspective perspectives. And, you know, we're always open to, you know, hey, help us think about this differently. And I think that's also one of the huge advantages we have to this great network of partners that we work with. And Dan, your company being one of them, you've been, you know, a great partner, and you help us think about, you know, different social media strategies and digital advertising strategies. And it's great to just be able to pick up the phone with someone and like, hey, brainstorm with me for a second. You know, this is what do you think? You know, so that's really been, I think, a huge competitive advantage for us.
I appreciate the compliment in there. And I think it's interesting because a lot of banks, think, well, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to hire or we're going to outsource, right? But there's a lot of gray area in between, you know, and I know, you know, we work with a lot of banks on a lot of different scales, you know, but the way we work with you is just, it's been a way to help provide a perspective and provide experience. And I think, I'm not turning this into a sales pitch, but it's an important thing for banks to just have that perspective. So I think that outside perspective can help create your differentiator. We say probably every episode of this podcast, we say banks sell money. Banks all sell the same products for the most part. It's the differentiators in the delivery and the brand. And how you solve the problems for your customers. And, you know, like you said, if you're just all in, you know, all in house, you can lose some of that.
Yeah. Well, and Heidi, I love that you guys have the insight to understand that as well, because at Dan's agency and mine, we have so much best practices, juicy stuff to offer. And there's no reason for us not to. In fact, my team managers, you know, are very frequently telling a client over in Louisiana something that worked very well for a client over in Georgia. And why not replicate, you know, and share, you know, those ideas. And the fact that before we got on, the three of us were talking a little bit about conferences and being out there and all of that. And that's what we're doing all of the time is being out there in the marketing field and in the agency and trying to stay cutting edge. Dan and I had an episode or two ago about AI and the directions that's taking this industry of marketing. And those are just some of the examples, I think, and Heidi, that you and your team are thirsty for that and open to it and realize the value of those partnerships in a hybrid situation is just awesome.
Yeah, it's been a great model and we will never look back. We will always continue to have that mix of in-house and contractors. And in some cases, like just this year, we actually have always used an outside creative agency. And, we had just really grown to the point where that didn't make sense to have out of house anymore. So that, you know, was like, okay, we got to, you know, leverage this great partnership out of house for many years. And that worked really well. And then we just, our needs became great enough that, you know, we said, okay, now it's time to pull this in-house, but we would have never been able to justify a full-time creative position even a year ago. You know, we had to work up to that. So it's that model, you know, allows us to kind of grow into certain roles as well. But then there's other roles like our partnership with Dan where, you know, that's always going to be a contracted like, hey, you know, we need this outside perspective. So it's really twofold, you know, it's which ones do we really always keep outside because we need that diversity and thought. And then, you know, which ones is kind of a starting point to get us ready to bring a role in-house.
Well, so another area where the bank overall is kind of doing this, that's kind of marketing adjacent, is around analytics. We've had a few episodes on, you know, becoming more of a data-driven marketer or using, you know, banks have such rich data, using that data to do better marketing, do better segmentation, figure out what your customers need. So talk a little bit about what the bank's done for that with your analytics team and how that's come up.
Yeah, we've kind of done this in two different ways. So I'll speak to, you know, the first is that we acquired a digital analytics company a couple of years ago. And what that allowed us to do is essentially stand up an internal business intelligence team that really, they're starting with us first and just setting up all of those reports and digging in. And, you know, we have data scientists in-house that are helping us make really informed decisions and, you know, connecting all of the bank data to get holistic reports that really tell a story. So that's kind of the broader scale analytics, what the bank is doing. And then there's also, it pertains to my team, as we just hired, just actually a couple months ago, we hired a digital analytics and e-commerce position. So this marketing manager is responsible for really owning, you know, the analytics within Google Analytics and all of our digital platforms. There's, you know, analytics in everything, right? Facebook ads, you've got the analytics there, and, you know, Opt-in Monster leads, you've got analytics in there. So this person is really now responsible for owning, you know, digital analytics within our digital marketing ecosystem. So that's an exciting new position. And again, we had to grow into that role. And so it's only been a couple months, but, you know, this person will be responsible for our marketing dashboards and, you know, also just really looking at our lead funnel experiences and making sure that those are optimized for conversions.
And that's right. And I just want to, pause here because I'm always just so impressed with the way the bank has approached it. But just, you know, I never talked to another bank that's acquired a digital analytics company or a data analytics company to solve these problems. It's, if they're doing it at all, it's, you know, it's hiring, growing the team. You're kind of doing both, right? Bringing the outside perspective that we've been talking about in, on this side as well. And I think the bank really understands that the data analysis is, you know, serves a huge purpose in marketing as well as on the, you know, the bank management kind of regulatory side also. But it shouldn't just sit in one department or another. It's got to be, you know, holistically across the bank. So.
Absolutely. It's been a huge resource to have internally.
Yeah. So, well, let's shift gears a little bit about, I mean, we're talking about differentiators. Let's keep doing that, but talk a little about how the bank differentiates itself outwardly, right? So this is kind of we've been talking about the internal team structure. Mm-hmm. Another thing we harp on pretty much every episode of the show is the need for differentiation, right? In your marketing message. So,
develop a personality. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, left to their own devices, every bank would kind of say, hey, we're trusted and local. Like, come bank with us.
Come on.
It's a lot harder to, it's a lot harder to tell a story. It's a lot harder to like show that, explain what that really means. So give us like the overview of the Midwest Bank Center brand and how you talk about the bank.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. It's hard to do. You know, a checking account from bank to bank tends to look pretty similar. So, you know, how do you differentiate yourself? And really, MBC has done that from the beginning of me working with them in 2019, has been through storytelling and, you know, the focus on community. So our tagline is rising together. And this is really embedded in everything we do. It's not just the tagline. It truly speaks to our values and our mission as an organization. And so we're passionate about the communities in St. Louis. And, you know, working with a community bank means that your dollars are staying local. 95 out of every $100 deposited locally stays local. So in our marketing, we say it matters where you bank. Because it does. When you bank locally, you're supporting those local families and local businesses. So the way that we do this is through various storytelling, right? We have our annual community impact report. It is a huge undertaking, but it's important to tell those customer and client stories of ours. And, you know, in our social media, we really tell those customer stories through that as well. And then we have a digital video series called Rising Together. And we are in our second season of that. These are, so all together, we've got 5 episodes that are live right now. And these are 5 to 7 minute episodes where we're telling our clients' stories. And, you know, people are really watching. They're genuine. They're really great because at the core of everything we do is we want to really invest in St. Louis. And so we're using this digital series to tell those stories. And that's kind of what we've done to differentiate ourselves. And I think it's working because what was most interesting when we first launched that digital video series is that we were getting out to an audience that likely did not know who we were. And yet we were seeing that people were watching at least 65% of these 7-minute videos. So we knew that something was working. If someone that doesn't know us is sticking around for over half of the video to understand what our story is, you know, that was really powerful for us.
And these videos, and we'll link out to them here, but the videos are, you know, amazing. I mean, for anybody, but especially for a bank, you know, it's not just come get your loan from Midwest Bank Center. It's the CEO, you know, with a sledgehammer in a rehab home and, you know, in a neighborhood that a lot of banks wouldn't, you know, dream of going to. So it's, they're really, you know, they're really inspiring and really powerful. And, you know, you also mentioned your community impact report there kind of quickly, but that, you know, that's also a, you know, 20-25 page, you know, in-depth storytelling of, you know, the great things that the bank has helped do and the things that small business loans that have made possible some of the great things that happen in the community. So really cool stuff, really inspiring just to watch it. But also if you're, you know, if you're a bank marketer or your bank exec, like to look at the how powerful telling your stories can be.
It is. It's not, you know, it takes some effort to really, you know, identify the customer stories and then work with the customers and have them feel comfortable with, you know, how are we going to tell their story? You know, so the community impact report is, it takes, you know, about half the year to really, you know, but it's worth it when you see what we're able to produce afterwards and how you know, great it is to tell these stories and show the difference, you know, not just say like, oh, you're making a difference by banking locally. These stories really prove that you're doing that. So it's cool to see those actually come to fruition.
Yeah. And I mean, your team does a great job too of breaking that down and distributing it, right? You have the report, you know, is a, you know, a PDF report in and of itself, but that gets broken down and kind of dripped out to social media over time. It's on the website, like the videos, you have your own kind of web portal for them. They're used in, you know, they're edited down and made into social ads. The whole video is run on digital media. And it's an investment in the time to build it. But, you know, the investment pays off when you, from the marketing perspective, when you can leverage it in all those places and you get, you know, you get a year's worth of content out of it. You're basing your whole kind of marketing budget on distributing those things out.
Yeah, exactly. We get, not everybody wants to sit down and read a 20-page PDF all at once. Although some do, we have the analytics that say, yeah, some are doing that. But then, you know, for those that want a little bit more digestible, then we really use that in our storytelling and our social media to break it down into bite-sized pieces.
And Heidi, you alluded to it a little bit a second ago. That's got to have an internal impact as well, because working at a bank at a very shallow, cursory level, you know, you envision a teller and you're counting money or you're doing a loan or whatever the case may be. And those are essential functions, obviously. But when you're actually telling a story, as you just described, not only for your marketing team, but, and this is a question, but I would imagine that that's got to be, have a ripple effect, you know, in the internal culture of the bank too, that, hey, we really matter. What we do really matters. You know, we're impacting St. Louis and the area and all of that thing, that things that are part of that story. That's got to have some internal corporate culture effect, I would think. Maybe a significance.
Yeah, it absolutely does. The energy within the bank is really like nothing I've ever experienced at an organization. You know, the authenticity and the core of, you know, everyone is just really passionate about what they do. And we've have some really great internal programs that allow people to put these values in action as well. One example of that is we do a program called Give Joy. And a few times a year, we get to volunteer. You know, it's optional, but you can volunteer to participate in a Give Joy event. And we go out into the communities that we serve. You know, our 18 branches are throughout the entire St. Louis region. And we get out and we get some money in our hand and we get to just get to walk into grocery stores or oil change places or, you know, just really walking through the community, meeting the residents and just saying, you know, hey, here's $10. Like, we just want to spread some joy. And the participation for that event is huge every year. And it just is cool. So you said ripple effect. That's exactly, you know, what it is. We get to see firsthand too, just like bringing joy into these communities as well. So yeah, it's a pretty cool thing that, you know, there's lots of different ways to kind of put what we our values into action. And that's just one example.
Nobody expects to see a bank out there giving money away.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, you know, rising together, when you and Dan were sharing some notes and putting our episode together today, you know, one of my thoughts was, boy, how hollow that could be. Mm-hmm. You know, as you could say rising together and yeah, but then you just do deposit accounts and loans, you know, and whatever. But I love hearing this because you guys are literally living that out. As a bank and as a personality. And as Dan said, we push that so hard on this show because, you know, so many banks, unfortunately, don't understand the real value of that. It's value to the bank, it's value to the bank's team, and it's value to the communities, you know, just by doing that rather than, well, our marketing doesn't really work. Well, I wonder why. Well, because all you're doing is giving bullet point lists about your deposit account products. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's kind of hard to get really excited about that, you know. But when you're doing things like you're describing that you guys do, and Dan, it makes me think about Emily Mays that we have with Community Spirit Bank and some of those. So from much smaller banks, Heidi, you know, mm-hmm. to you guys and even larger, that you're really living that out. It's a game changer. So good for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels good, really, at the end of the day, to work for an organization that, you know, isn't just talking the talk, but they're really walking the walk into everything they do. And that, yeah, it feels great to be a part of that.
Well, and you were talking about hybrid teams, so I would imagine that there's an expectation of that also with those that you work with, that they need to be on board with that as well.
You know, one thing that really is important to us that I didn't touch on is, you know, I said we work with a lot of partners and contractors. And part of that is, you know, we're all about the St. Louis region and keeping dollars local. So as much as possible, we're working with partners that are local as well. And that is extremely important to us too. You know, that's one of the first things we do is we really vet our network to say, you know, does this resource exist locally before we go beyond that?
Well, that kind of good segue into our last area we wanted to talk about was just, you know, part of this mission, of, you know, part of what Rising Together means is not just you and me, you know, one customer in the bank, but it's bringing, you know, bringing up the whole St. Louis region. Mm-hmm. So we can, I mean, that's what the tagline says, we can all rise together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, part of that mission is the bank does a lot of work with marginalized communities. You've got branches, kind of like I said earlier, in places in St. Louis where a lot of other banks don't want to be. Mm-hmm. So talk a little about, you know, how that kind of came about. Like, you're investing in underserved communities, but why and how and why is that an important part of the mission?
Yeah. Like you said, you know, it is very important to us that our footprint is spread out throughout the entire region and not just, you know, focused in the more affluent areas. We really want to be in all the regions of St. Louis and especially those underserved communities. So one of the ways that we really support this, is through our impact banking initiative. And what this is we're working with anchor institutions to that are going to say, okay, yeah, we will choose to accept a little bit less financial return in order to allow community-focused banks like Midwest Bank Center to take on a little bit more risk and extend capital and invest in those under-resourced communities. And that's been a huge success, for us since we launched that just a few years ago. And, you know, really, the core and the heart of this is, you know, our CEO, Orv Kimbrough, grew up in an underserved, marginalized community. And, you know, it really, that passion is really speaks firsthand to, you know, what he's experienced and seeing that, you know, when given opportunity, we really can all rise together. So that's that little backstory of what that tagline really means. And yeah, there is a lot to unpack with that tagline. And, you know, we're really living those values.
When Orv is super inspiring as well. And he's got his own kind of social media force. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his story of getting to the bank is also, also really cool. And I know he was involved with the bank. He was on the board, right, for a while before he mm-hmm. came over. But he came over, he was running the kind of regional United Way. And so for a bank to like, you know, what better way for a bank to really say we want to impact the community than to hire a CEO from, you know, a nonprofit that's already doing that? So it's really, it ties it all in together. It's, you know, and if you're listening, like he's got a lot of other content that can inspire you to see what, you know, your community bank can do for its community.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And I'll plug his social for a second because it's some great content. And he really goes by the accidental banker because he never aspired to be a CEO of a bank. He was really more in that nonprofit space. But yeah, I came over and really has brought a lot of those values from, you know, what he was doing in the nonprofit space over into the bank. And he's got a great social presence. So Orv Kimbrough on, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, and then he goes by the Accidental Banker. He's got a website and blog out there as well. And he just has some tremendous content and just unique thoughts and perspective that, you know, yeah, he's got a nice following within the St. Louis region and beyond for sure.
And we'll throw all those all of his links into the show notes too.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, this has been awesome. This is one of those episodes where we could go on and on and on too, and keep digging deeper. And it's been so great what you have shared about how your team grew 5+ years from a couple of folks to a 9-person team. But the essence of what that is about in all of the existing partnerships and the hybrid teams that you have. And how all of that together is making it happen, and the true nature of how you guys are a community bank. So it's really been great to visit about all that. Yep.
Yeah. You have,
we're not going to let her go, are we, Dan? We've got our fun part.
We got the lightning round. So we'll pepper you with some more, a couple last questions.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, let's hop in. So share a personal best or business best. We may have already talked about him, but...
Well, yeah, I'll share a personal best. So I have 3 boys and they're 10, 8, and I have a little one that's just about to turn 1. So I feel like that, you know, making it through the first year is a win, and we're excited and just can't believe that it's already been a year since we've welcomed him in. So yeah, that's kind of my personal best. And yeah, the business best has really been the team growth. You know, my team has added 2 new roles just in the last 4 to 6 months. So a lot of change, but good change. And it's allowing us to really dive into some exciting projects next year. So, yeah.
Great. What's your favorite book or another resource, if not a book?
You know, actually... Business book, you and I think have geeked out on this one before, Dan. When I was running my consulting practice, I think one of the best business books that I read was Profit First by Michael McCallowitz. I think that's how you say it.
Chris has got it behind him there too.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. Yep. It's really one of those books. Yep. Yeah, it's so good. And I recommend it to any business owner, anyone that's self-employed. You know, I devoured every word and implemented it into my business. And it was fantastic, you know, really just flipping that traditional accounting structure on its head and paying yourself first and then working from there. So yeah, that one's still one of my faves, even though I'm not running my business anymore.
Yeah. Well, what is the most impactful piece of advice you've received?
You know, something my boss, Danielle, says a lot is it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I love that because we are a team of high achievers. We are fast paced and we are accomplishing a lot. But what that advice is a constant reminder that, you know, a lot of our deadlines at the end of the day are self-imposed. So we're really always prioritizing our team's well-being and really maintaining that great work-life balance. So I love that reminder. I try to tell my team that as well, but every once in a while I need it too. So
yeah, always good to keep that in mind. What's something that you always tell your team?
You know, I don't know if it's as great as that. I actually tend to answer a question with a question. You know, my team might ask me something, oh, what should we do about this? And typically I'll go, well, can we take a step back for a moment? And I'll ask a bigger question because I think a lot of time, again, I think I talked about that tunnel vision and, you know, sometimes it's easy to just jump in and go, okay, let's solve this problem. But sometimes when you take that broader step back, it gives you a different perspective, allows you to, you know, ask some different questions. And then, you know, maybe you end up solving a slightly different problem than what you were originally asked.
I think that's wise. It's hard to do sometimes. Yeah.
It is. And that's why I laugh, because I know my team probably rolls their eyes sometimes when they say they're great, you know, but I'm sure they're sick of me going, can we take a step back for a second? But yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Question. I just wanted to know what to do and go do it, right?
Yeah.
There's that old joke about like how, you know, what do psychiatrists do? And I forget who, I can't credit where it came from. I didn't come up with it, but it's like, you just take the last two words of whatever somebody says and ask it back like a question. So like your mother. So how can people get in touch with you? What are some of the links you want to share? And we'll link them out in the show notes. But, you know, people have questions for you, want to look more into some of the stuff we've been talking about here. Where are some good places to go?
Yeah. So we talked about that digital video series. If you are interested in watching those, you can find them on our YouTube channel, Midwest Bank Center, spelled with an R-E at the end. Or you can go to risingtogetherseries.com. And then MidwestBankCenter.com is our main website. And, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably the best channel if anyone wants to reach out. LinkedIn, Heidi Majet.
All right. Well, it's been fantastic chatting with you. I'm sure we'll chat again another couple times this week on other stuff. But great having you on the show. Really inspiring stuff. So thanks for making the time and thanks for coming on.
Yep. Thank you both for having me. It was great.
You got it. Really great stuff for our listeners, Heidi. So we appreciate you being with us today.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.